Not excited. I'm Phil Marion. This is Raps Rant, hosted by myself, Megan Smith, and Blair Johnson. The show is all things Raptors in the NBA. We cover current stats, news, feature exciting guest speakers. And we're going to cover game two.
Sorry.
You know, there's a great article written on Grantland from 2013 Leafs to 20 types of depressed sports fans. I encourage you to look it up and read it because it's very good. I pretty much was yelling and screaming the entire game two. Frustration. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
You can tell by our mood the Raptors lost.
Listen, I'll say this. I'm proud of myself. There's no negativity. There's nothing, no of those crazy posts on social media. I'm sticking finally for the first time in my life to something I said. It was like the finals for me is good enough. The challenge now is there's no disappointment in this team. There's disappointment if we don't win, but there's no disappointment in the team. I'm like really proud of these guys. I love them to death. There's like, you know, they've earned my respect, but at the same point, last game was really, 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 really difficult to swallow. You're going to talk a little bit about it, I think, Phil, but just...
Oh, yeah, I got a lot
sort
of points.
Unforced, a bunch of unforced stuff that's just sort of unnecessary. And, you know, we're up 2-0. You know, I'm a percentage guy. Our percentages look pretty darn good, especially with some of the injuries that are happening. And right now, the percentages, I don't think, look that great. So, you know, it doesn't mean we're out of it. But at the same point, it was just a really tough, tough, tough game.
Well, let's go. So, 109-104, Golden State over Toronto. The first half started out really well. Although, I'll say this. So, first quarter, Toronto up 27-26. The Raptors were up, I believe, by 12 was the most in the second quarter. I believe so. Anyways, the beginning of the downfall started in that second quarter because they didn't close. As Jack Armstrong always says, you like to close quarters, right? And close halves. You got to close the quarter. They closed the quarter terribly, and they were only up. They were up 32-28 in the second quarter, up 5 at the half. And then our worst nightmare happened in terms of how you would start a third quarter. That's the whole thing on the Raptors. If they can shoot or not, if they can consistently shoot, they're hard to beat any night. And they went through a cold stretch that I haven't seen it very often. The Golden State's from the end of the second quarter to the third quarter, they went on a 20-0 run. That's the longest run in NBA Finals history. So Raptors are in the books for that. And it just everything, it was like a 6-minute lapse to start the third quarter. The defense was weak. They were running tons of backdoor cuts that they didn't recognize at all. I think they scored 3 or 4 times that way, just easy, easy baskets.
Maybe the platinum should have come back out to
the worst.
I'm not gonna swear.
The worst part about that run was that it's not like Golden State played suffocating defense. They had wide open shots. They just missed. It's a game of basketball. It happens. Gasol had a shot that went in and out.
I mean,
Kawhi had a shot that went in and out. I could have stopped the runs. Yeah.
I looked at our numbers here, and it's like, okay, let me just take a quick look at this. Golden State shot 38%. And we shot 37%, right? Seems pretty close. And then I realized I was looking at the wrong column.
Yeah,
Golden State's three-point shoot. I knew this. I'm just joking.
I know.
They shot better from three than we shot from two.
Yeah.
Phil, you mentioned a stat. We actually had more open looks for three in game two than we did in game one.
We had more. Our open shots were way more. And it was like... Golden State, basically, they did the same. So they didn't cover Kawhi as hard as they did in game one. But what they did is they made a few strategic changes. One was DeMarcus Cousins started, which I think was a good move on their end. He was a big body in there. And they took Draymond off of Siakam, which I think was also a big move. So Iguodala guarded Siakam because Siakam clearly was too quick for Draymond. So Draymond was the guy, he kind of could roam around. They had him actually on Lowry a lot of the times, which was kind of surprising. But at the same time, he was basically a help defender. So Golden State's D did pick up. I think Curry made some nice adjustments there. And they sagged off Kawhi. They didn't throw it hard as Kawhi because they wanted to stop Siakam, and they dared other people to make shots, even Kawhi to make shots. It's clear he's not 100%.
Do you remember, I haven't gone back and looked, do you remember how much or at all if Gasol and Ibaka played game one together? I thought our rim protection was really weak. They did a good job of drawing our bigs out, and then you're right, hitting those backdoor cuts were game one. It seemed like we were giving up some stuff inside, but when their shooters and their, you know, their penetrators would get past our sort of, you know, outer defenses, that we had enough length inside, even if we were coming from behind to disrupt. And I didn't think we had that.
Well,
this game.
I think that's why DeMarcus Cousins, if you want, like Stephen A. Smith put him as the MVP of the game. I don't know if I'd quite put him MVP of the game, but he was a huge factor. He disrupted Gasol. Gasol had no business going inside anymore. He couldn't really do anything against him.
Yeah,
and
the shot was dropping. The thing about Gasol is I just didn't think he was aggressive this game. I mean, it's a weird thing to be a basketball player for your entire life. And you know, the only difference that I saw between game one and game two, fine, he hit a couple big shots early, but that's not, you know, you got to keep shooting. He consistently put up offense in game one. There was never any lulls in his game. He sort of scored probably in every quarter. And it wasn't just a streak. And I think this game, there was no aggression to his game. I don't necessarily think that was Cousins as much as it was a lot of hesitation. You saw him grab the ball, pump fake, not go through on the shots. And it's sort of like
a couple times. A couple guys say they didn't want to shoot tonight. There was less aggression. So here, game one, Toronto shot 5 of 6 on uncontested threes. So they were open 6 times. In game two, they were 3 of 10.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
On threes. And we're talking uncontested wide open. And it's interesting enough, like Iguodala was, before Sunday, he was 1 for his last 15 from three.
Yeah, and they're talking about how disrespecting Iguodala. I'm like, you're playing the percentages, guys. Like, shut up. Like, you're 1 of 15 for three. I'll leave you open.
I'm going to get into Golden State's whining a bit later because it's one of the privileges of being in the Eastern Conference is that you only play them twice. You don't get to see them all the time. I can imagine most Western Conference teams are really sick of them. They expect every call. They whine quite a bit in terms of, you know, being disrespected. And, you know, frankly, I really am tired of Curry's mouth guard at the free throw line. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Where do you want to go to next? I got some stuff. I mean, this is kind of all over the place, but
we are all over the place. We're pretty much just talking about the game, but. All right. So back to that third quarter, and you briefly touched upon it. Like, shame on you, Toronto Raptor fans, and shame on you, platinum level fans. Mm-hmm. I've seen it throughout the playoffs, not just these first two games of the NBA Finals, but get in your seats for the third quarter. Your team needed you. They had nobody out there. There was barely any. It was quiet to begin with because a run like that started. But you couldn't even have started a chant because half the seats were empty.
There was
probably
no energy.
Over.
There was no energy.
There was zero. What are you guys doing? Where are you? What are you doing?
How many people do you know? Again, we're
you have
not
to stay at the bar. You have to stay at the bar and have an extra drink. What's wrong with you? It's the NBA Finals. Get in your seat.
We're not going to get too personal here, but you know, not that I want to go to the game because I would go if I wanted to. I prefer to watch in the comfort of my own home or at a bar where I can, you know, get out of there really quickly if I have like, you know, heart palpitations at the end of the game.
I would have died to have been to that game. And literally, you don't show up for the start of third quarter. It's unacceptable.
Do you know how many people I see who've never been, like, first Raptor game, like social media, it's like first ever Raptor game.
NBA
like,
Finals. Give me
like, I love G-O-N Anubia. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And listen, there's no doubt our fans have been amazing. They've been loud.
Those ones suck. Those calling ones suck. You all out. I don't
and that's
care.
An 18-0 run. It's an important, and we talked about this. It does matter.
The real fans
every
are outside.
Second matters.
The real fans are in the third level. The real fans are not there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and again, going on from that, it pisses me off. Why is Barack Obama at the game? You don't deserve to be there.
He would have been 10 seats taken up. You need 8 Secret Service.
Listen, you're the president of the United States. You know, good for you. You won it. You're not the president
go
anymore.
Go into a box. Why are you in the stands?
Yeah, go sit in a box. You have 10 security guards that are also taking up spots that are hidden in
there.
Same
with you, Silver. Get out of the stands.
Yeah, Silver, you're a bum too.
Sorry, I'll give Silver a seat.
Ah, get out of there, man. Seriously, go. It's a microcosm of everything that is, which is there's too many non-fans that don't deserve to be at the game. Stay home. You know, if someone offers you a ticket, think of someone in your life who's a bigger Raptors fan than you are. call them up on the phone and give them the gift of the only time we may ever make the NBA Finals. Be a half decent human being.
No, but you want to have your selfie there and your social media presence.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And then when you go after the game, you literally don't feel any sadness whatsoever for the loss. You
try
go
to say at least, like, they tried.
Yeah, like, that was great. I had so much fun, man. That was a great atmosphere.
Wasn't the Raptor during the timeout amazing?
So just going back here, Phil, it's
let me give you one other difference between game one and two. So the first half, Raptors played like game one. What happened with Golden State, they played Golden State basketball. So this was another thing that
Thompson kept him in that game. The ball didn't even touch his fingers.
And correct. He didn't touch the rim. But what happened in the second half is how well the Warriors moved the ball. They assisted on every single field goal of theirs in the second half.
Every single one was assisted.
Yeah. Not one.
Yeah.
We had under 20 assists in the game. I'm pretty sure we were at 17, which means we only had 7 assists in the second half.
Well, they were taking away a lot from us, and obviously we shot a lot of free throws, which was deserved. I don't think, you know, the rest were bad, but
well, ultimately, we'll get into that too. I mean,
coming back to it, I wouldn't say Golden State scored 26, 28, and 21 points in three quarters. That's a 100 pace average. It's actually under 100 pace average. They had 34 in the third, which is how they got their 109.
Yeah.
The Raptors were 27, 32, 24, and they had their 21 point quarter. I mean, that's the same as Golden State had in the fourth.
Sure.
We just didn't score 34, and that's the ultimate difference in the game. But again, we're looking at three quarters here where the Raptors are the better basketball team. Yes. And they looked like the better basketball team in those three quarters as well.
They did.
Like, they're passing the eye test. They're passing the... Like, again, you look at the numbers.
It was shooting.
We rebounded them.
All shooting.
You can't...
Blair, listen to this stat here. Sorry to cut you off quickly.
No,
just one quick. So, the Raptors managed only 104 points on 93 shots, whereas they scored 118 points on 77 shots.
That's insane.
Like, that's the difference between game one and two. So, you had 14 fewer points on 16 more shots. That's insane how poor the shooting was. So I'm going to give credit for some of the... I'll give credit to Golden State for the matchup, the changes. Obviously, Steve Kerr is an amazing coach, and he adjusted. But the Raptors clearly they're a very good offensive team, and they just miss shots.
The Raptors beat themselves. I can't stand going back and people saying Golden State won. No, they didn't win. You don't... If you know, again, this is about
the Raptors. They got an ugly win.
Sloppy turnovers. Yes. We're not talking even about, you know, not talking about forced turnovers. We're talking about sloppy turnovers. We're talking about 28% from three and 37% from the field. You know, I know that Golden State's a good defensive team. They're not a 37% from the field good defensive team against the Raptors. This is a game that will, you know, again, I'm staying positive. I believe that we can go into Golden State and win a game.
I do too. And I hope this doesn't, because when we lost game one in Milwaukee, everyone was like, I hope this doesn't come to bite you. Well, I'm hoping this game doesn't come to bite us, because it was there for the taking.
And this is a different game to me. In Milwaukee in game one, as we went cold, there's no doubt. But I was scared of their defense in the second half. The intensity, they ratcheted up. This is at home. These are open shots. There's no reason for this loss. It's why it hurts me so much. I haven't read one article. I haven't watched one highlight. I've had to distance myself for the last 2 days, because it's just one of those losses where you didn't get beat.
And if you lose the
NBA Finals because you threw up a dud at home, again, I'm not going to rip on any of the players.
No, it happens.
I love that they're here.
It will haunt
me for the rest of my life. It will. It will haunt me for the rest of my life, because it's just such an unnecessary loss.
Well, you also were without Klay Thompson for the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And Kevin Looney is out. And Kevin Looney is out for the rest of the series.
Yeah. But I think that actually helped them. I think that forced them to put in Cousins more.
And Bogut ripped us apart too. And Cousins has to play.
That was a Bogut matchup. He came in, and I don't know what his numbers were, but he's a
wily old veteran.
He played 7 minutes. He had 6 points on 3 of 3. I mean.
Well, they were basically just...
He was minus six,
rim.
But. But I think, you know, for me, again, the people can come back and say, but they've got another chance. Like, basketball at the end of the series, this isn't about, you know, going in and beating, you have to now go beat Golden State. It's game one game at a time. It's not one game at a time. Every game matters. When you, it's a 7-game series. If you lose it 4-3, then the one game that you screwed up and played like crap was the game that you should have won. Like, yeah. You can't let Steph one Curry opportunity
out,
pass by.
Steph Curry came out today, was talking about the play when they lost to Cleveland in game 7 when he missed the three and Kevin exactly. Love played defense. He goes, you have no idea how much I think about that. I could have easily gone around him for a two.
And it should Why never have gotten to that game.
Yeah.
It should never have gotten to that game.
It's true. It should never have gotten to that game.
You know, you're up 3-1. Beat him in 3-2. Beat him in the 3-3 game. They should never have gotten to that game. And that's what I'm saying. It's like you let that game 4 opportunity pass you. But, oh, no, they got another chance. They lost that series not in game 7. They lost that series in game 6 and game 5 because they had 2 chances to put them away, yeah. And they didn't do it.
So it's there's nothing else to say. It's tough. A lot of people were complaining. I myself included. The first half, you know, I'm yelling at the refs.
The refs were atrociously bad.
But they by the end of the game, they were just atrociously bad for the game. Like for both sides. At the end of the day, I think you mentioned Golden State actually had more fouls.
Yeah, they did. I think
so. The refs. If you want to,
they were more blatant.
They were consistently
calls
bad
on our side.
Yeah. There's a lot of really crappy missed calls too. There was the missed goaltend by Klay Thompson. There was a couple.
There's the charge on Lowry, which he ends up fouling at the end of the game.
He ends up fouling at the end of the game. So they were big deals. At the same time, when you have that many open looks, when you have all those things, guess what? These are the NBA two-time defending champions. The last 5 years gone to the NBA Finals. You think you're going to get calls? Come on. You got to beat them. You got to go take
it's
it.
Even
you
some of the,
beat them.
It's even some
and
of
the shots were there to open. So you missed shots. You missed your opportunity. Refs had nothing to do with it.
It's even the stuff, though. Like you look at the Gasol play at the end of the game where the ball, you know, the ref is literally looking directly at that ball. It doesn't touch him, and they call it off from Gasol. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, where is that?
Well, thankfully, they replay for that.
But it's just, you know, it's just, again, I'm not...
Well, no, remember when the Curry was draped all over, I think it was Lowry, and like, and Tony Brothers was called...
The jump ball.
Called a jump ball. Where he was like, is that an actual joke? Like, yeah. Thankfully, someone was like, no.
Yeah, he's like, okay, that's going a little too far here.
Tony Brothers in general sucks. Like, he's always about the whistle. He just, kills a game. He kills, he makes every game.
Exactly. And what I will say about that from, again, just coming back from whether or not they were calling too many fouls on both teams, that saps your home energy.
Sure.
Because the whole,
you can't get
flow
momentum,
of the
you
game.
Can't get the runs going because it's like, you're constantly dealing
stop,
with foul
go,
shots
stop,
and things like
go.
That.
Exactly. So when you like, want that to happen,
know, like,
that's
Kawhi,
a road game.
By the way, yeah, you want that on the road.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you want. That works in Golden State's favor.
Which, again, is sort of what, like, again, I just thought our, not that the crowd was flat, but there was just sort of this, like, especially in the third, there was just this long period where there was no energy in the building.
Well, we all know, because we all know. We just discussed it. I already yelled about it. So, but the other thing, too, is that as much as we want to say the refs disrupted the flow, there was a period there, and we'll get into also, too, is Golden State was very upset at the defense that Toronto played the last 5.5 minutes.
Love it.
But the Raptors, like, Golden State didn't score for 5 minutes. And subsequently, the Raptors missed every shot after shot after shot. You want to get your crowd in the game? Like, they had a chance. They had the chance.
Yep.
And it was just very disappointing. Actually, one thing I'll mention about Kawhi Leonard, as much as, like, he was 8 for 20.
That's 40%.
But he was 16 to 16 from the free throw line. That's the most ever free throws made in a finals game without missing ever. So as Kawhi had a game that you'd look at and be like, well, it wasn't spectacular.
He didn't cost us the game.
He could have won it for us, for sure. He could have. But how much more can you call upon Kawhi? I mean, he's done enough. I mean, like, I know he's due for a game. He's due for a game, and it's going to happen in Golden State. He's coming out.
He was 2 for 9 of 3, and we needed him to be better there, but he made up for it on the free throws. Again, that's what I'm saying.
16 to 16, it's
you
amazing.
Can't be you can't like, ask a guy to be perfect.
No, you can't ask a guy to be perfect, and he's done enough.
His 8 of 20, there was some, you know, he had... Again, the guy's hurt. There's no question he's hurt. I think from three, it's a little bit more difficult when your legs aren't there and he's got a leg problem.
I've tried to shoot those NBA distance threes. Those are tough, man.
Yeah, and they're playing him tough and they're getting physical on him. I mean, there's a reason you have 16 free throws. Those other 8, you know, 20 shots he took, I'm sure there's a bunch of them where, you know, where he's getting a lot of, you know, physical defense placed on him. But, you know, again, he comes through with 14 rebounds. He was a minus 14, so he was part of that third quarter run, which is too bad. And I think, you know, they didn't do a good enough job in that spell there of getting into their offense. I thought they rushed some shots. Like, that was sometimes you just start getting ahead of yourself before you need to, and that run just killed them because he's plus four the rest of the game. He was a minus 18. I'm sure he was on the floor for the whole run probably. So he went minus 18 on that run, and then there's the rest of the game. He's plus four, and
that's it. I think you're exactly right with that.
And then going back to some of the other guys, I mean, again, you know, there's
Golden State had guys step up too. They had
we talked about game one and game two, and this is the difference, I think. So people were like, "Oh, Golden State, like blah blah," guys were having down games. No one had a down game in game one.
Raptors beat them. Like, come on, don't try and say that Golden State played the crap.
Pascal Siakam was 5 of 18. Okay, how many times is he going to go 5 of 18?
Not often.
What's his what's his shooting percentage for the season?
It's like 60.
Like, how many times is he going to go? What's his shooting percentage right now in the playoffs? So he's a 47% shooter.
That's right.
In the playoffs. No, in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. 47%. He's had some. Well, the Philly season, really, the series really killed him for field goal percentage. He didn't have those typical games.
But either way, you know, I think he's, you know, you're even 47%, whatever. Call him 50%
sure,
shooter.
Sure. 5 of 18 is.
Yeah. During the season, he was a 50. He's a 55% shooter. He's 37% from three. And so, you know, again, I think we had the off game. What were Gasol's numbers this game? Gasol was 2 of 7 from the field. 2 of 7. You have 5 of 18. 2 of 7. You have 4 of 11 from Lowry. Yeah. You basically have, you know, again, you had everyone at the same time having the bad game. So, yeah, we're going on the road. But one of the good things that I'm sort of staying positive about is, like, we can't really shoot any worse than we did. We lost by 2 points.
2 points. Yeah, exactly.
It was really a 2-point game.
Yep.
They shot, their field goal percentage was 38% from three. They might shoot a little bit better than that, but I don't, you know, what are they going to shoot? They shot 46% from the field. Yeah. Are they going to go over 50 at home? I think they're going to have similar numbers to this at home.
I don't think, I just think the Raptors, the one thing I've always harped on, the consistency of the Raptors is the defense and Kawhi Leonard. And even Kawhi Leonard, if he has a struggle night, he finds a way to impact the game. He finds a way to keep you in it. Like you said, the free throw line was game two, or it can be defensively. But the one thing that the Raptors do consistently is defense. And they still haven't faced the defense like ours. I think they keep it, like, a lot of people are predicting Golden State to blow us out. Why? Just because they're at home? I mean, I hope that's not the case, but I just think the defense keeps you in it. I think they've learned a lot from the Philly and Milwaukee series enough to not get blown out, you know? Runs happen. They go through, they get down a bit, they're resilient and fight back. I think it'll be another close two games.
My hope is that we don't have to win game six, that it's not a 3-1 deficit with game six. It's a big difference.
You got to win. I'm really hoping
the pressure just gets to you.
I'm really hoping they can steal game three. I think that's going to be the toughest game to win in the series. First game at home. Like,
listen, you take game three and you take game three and immediately game four becomes so much easier to win.
Oh, for sure. Game three is going to be the hardest game to win just because, like, you know, happy to be home and Raptors, the first game in Golden State in a while.
I have a good feeling about this.
I do have a good feeling, but at the same time, it's the hardest game to win. So if they can win that, it's enormous.
So here's some of the stats just from the Warriors at home. And again, we all know that they're a little bit more vulnerable this year. Again,
hold on. Let's quickly, before we get into sort of the analysis of game three. So the Raptors did something. Nick Nurse did something that was it's been the talk of the last two, the last two media days. Is the last one, Curry, when Thompson went out, they put in a defense of box four, cover one, which is really, basically, for anyone.
So you literally have
that,
one person chasing.
You have one person chasing the best player, basically saying, like, the other guys are no good. We're confident that they're not going to do anything. Warriors were very disrespected by that. Like, they were upset about it. Like,
but they couldn't score on it.
They did, 5 minutes. They didn't score. 5 minutes. They did not.
How long did we play that defense for? Does it do
for we, five do minutes it? And 30 seconds onwards? That's when it was. That's when he said the box four cover one. Van Vliet was the cover on Curry, so he was running around, and then you'd have a guy double team or whatever it is, and
get out of your box. Gold. You just, like, you only double team in your box.
You don't double. You have your zone. You have your spot.
Does it make you weak underneath or no?
It just it if you have, I mean,
I guess you can collapse the box pretty quick.
Basically, the reason from what I read, because I actually didn't even notice it. Like I noticed a little bit of,
because it's a zone. It's a zone defense.
I just thought it was a zone.
Normally
exactly.
They play like a 3-2 zone. Or
exactly.
Whatever,
so I was just looking at it as a zone, but that specifically.
But with a zone, you wouldn't have a chaser.
You wouldn't have a chaser. You're doing 2-3 or 3-2. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so you probably with Golden State, you're doing a 3-2 because you're not worried. Like you have good rim protection. And you want to cover the perimeter from threes. But yeah, it was interesting because it worked. Yeah. And most people would look at it. That's something that's employed in high school.
Because normally in high school,
you have the discrepancy of a guy who's a superstar in a team that most of the guys are in. They're not going D1. Yeah. So you have like, okay, we got to cover this one guy. You know, how do we do it? Well, when Clay went out, who do you have? Steph. Cousins is in game 2 back from injury.
Yeah, and you're going to let him shoot.
Iguodala is 2 of 17, his last 3-point shots. You know, so basically, I mean, they asked Kawhi today, they said, would you employ that again? He's like, I would doubt it. Because, like, the only reason he also did is because Golden State was exhausted. They were tired. They didn't have enough. They weren't cutting enough. Like, when they started out the third quarter, they were doing so many quick cuts. They were doing that stuff. If you move in that defense and you swing the ball, it's disaster. It's absolute disaster. It's like wide open. It's like you can't. It's a horrid defense if a team is not tired and you have a couple guys that actually can make a shot.
Listen, again, some good things going for us here too. You just said like the minutes. Like Iguodala's hurt, so I mean he's hurt. No matter what you say, the more minutes you put on his body, it's going to be tough.
Looney's out. And Looney's Klay Thompson's out. Klay's got a question. He's questionable for game 3. He's not guaranteed.
He's not feeling 100%.
He will. I'm pretty sure he'll play, but he's not going to be the same.
Yeah. So, and then when you look down here,
maybe we'll still be playing our janky defense, as Curry puts it. I don't know. And this is for a team that they just become so unlikable when you hear them in press conference.
The best part too about this Raptors team is
like, dude, why don't you actually, you know, say my teammate made an amazing no look pass to Iggy to have an open 3, because that's what Livingston did.
Yeah,
he literally faked out the entire Raptors team with a beautiful no look pass. Why don't you say, hey, Livingston, instead of being like they played a janky defense that was disrespectful.
First of all, I don't care what defense is. You're collapsing on a 2 in that situation and giving a 3. So you're not going to leave anyone through the
lane. Pick and roll is a play in high school. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that either.
Picks are set. I guess that's
well,
really.
Free throw, yeah. That's, you got, that's you're the same
running,
distance.
You guys are running some janky offense there, Golden State. And then DeMarcus Cousins being like, yeah, that was janky. It's like, what's janky is you taking a league minimum on Golden State to go win
a
championship.
Janky. That's janky.
You're just a janky human being.
You know what? That's
get out of here.
Perfect. That's a perfect example.
Get out of here.
What is janky?
You need to actually sit there, DeMarcus Cousins, just be like, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Golden State, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to talk
anything.
Golden
State should be ashamed of themselves, too. Like, Golden State's like, you know what? You want to win by just subverting the system. It's just like, yeah, we'll take more talent. Fine, you want to win. How good do you feel when you're like, oh, how could we have lost? We have literally a guy. That other franchises who are shitting the bed, whose fans don't even come to watch them because they have no superstars, and we get this guy for $600,000 or $1 million or whatever it is.
It was the league.
Get out of the league, Cousins. Yeah. Get out.
You're no respect. You know what? This ring. It's a joke.
You know what this reminds
you,
me of?
You can't go to sleep at night being like, oh, I really did it.
This reminds me of like, I think it was, there's a couple of guys have done this where they do the flip flop. It was, Ray Allen did it.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of guys who've done the flip flop and lost on the other side where they join the bad team.
Yes. Karl Malone did it. He did it. Well, not the flip flop, but he went to LA. He went to the Lakers in hopes of the title and didn't get it.
Somebody did it back in the day with, was it Boston? I don't know. There's been a few flip floppers over the years, and I like the ones that go and lose on the other side.
This is my thing with Golden State. Steph Curry changed the game. For a lot of times when they were first coming up, I cheered, rooted for them. They're just a fun team to cheer for. But I'll say this, for all the flack that the Raptors get for LeBron James and everything, like, you know, they stood up and they went to him. They got embarrassed, but they challenged him with the same guys.
No
every
complaints
year.
Ever.
No
Raptors
complaints.
Never complained.
Nothing like that. You know what the Golden State Warriors did? They won the first year, and it was clear that, you know, obviously no Irving, no Love. Year two, you're a 73-9 team, and you lost LeBron. You go and get Kevin Durant because you were scared of LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. No chickens.
You want to talk chickens. About? You want to talk about a team that was scared of LeBron James? Golden State Warriors. And then, guess what happens? You win the next 2 years because LeBron's bringing back cadavers, as I like to say. the one year he had, LeBron James had 1 year against Golden State where he had his team.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he had three teams that were garbage.
Yeah.
And then you look at what happens. He announces he's coming to the Western Conference. We're getting DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, no.
they're scared of LeBron James.
Look, but what I love about this Raptor team so much, you saw the janky offense comments and all those kind of things. And the Raptors come out to their press conferences. They don't care about Golden State.
No.
They don't even speak about them. They just talk about what they're going to do. They're like, okay, next game we're going to do this. Next game we're going to do this. Kawhi Leonard doesn't give a shit about Golden State.
He does not like Golden State. You know, he actually to this day still refers to the best team he's ever faced as the Miami Heat. He goes, that's the best.
That was the only time that LeBron James was scared.
Have you ever seen that clip? That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, it literally, 2013.
I just mean LeBron James one time in his career said, I'm not good enough. I got to go work. I got to go play with Wade and Bosch. Yeah. And that's the only way I can guarantee a win. And then once he got his titles, a couple of titles, he's like, hey, I'll go back to like Cleveland and just play with the cadavers again.
Well, you had Irving and Love the 1 year, and look, they took down the 73-9 Warriors.
Go get Durant. It's like Tiger Woods, man. Tiger Woods rebuilt his swing three times, knowing that every time he did it, that he was going to go out there and duff the ball a bunch and just eat shit in front of people on national television. And he was like LeBron. Like LeBron, that's what the only thing I respect, because I hate LeBron James. I actually think he's so arrogant. He's such a piece of garbage. But what I do respect about him is that he was all about winning specifically on his back. If he wanted to win six titles, he would have 10 titles if he wanted to. He could pick any team in the entire league to go to that has every superstar on it that's going to win him a championship. He only did it once with Miami because he needed to guarantee himself a title. He needed to have that just to get it off his shoulders. But he went back to being like, listen, I will play, and I want it to all be me. I want it to be end of the year, not be like, well, it was like with Shaq and Kobe. They still have to have that debate about like, could they have done it one without the other? Like this, that, the other thing. LeBron James, like, I don't want any of that. Even Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen. No one will argue that Michael Jordan's
teams were ridiculously good. They were crazy. They were 72-10.
Yeah, and no one will argue that Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. Also, Golden State fans,
the Raptors helped you with that record, 72-10. One loss was to the Toronto Raptors. I was at that game.
So let's just get back to like sort of my last points here, which, again, just getting back to... the Raptors, what they're coming up against in the next couple games here. So, listen, we all know that Golden State's not the same team this year. They suffered, they had 28 20-point losses this year, which was as many as the last four seasons combined.
It was surprising, especially at home.
They're vulnerable, and they're vulnerable to bigger losses, which I like. It's not like they were like, it's like a bounce here or there, like that changes the game. These guys are, you know, not the same team as they were. Like, Sean Livingston is not as good as he used to be. Iguodala is not as good as he used to be. Their scoring isn't what... Their points per game is still excellent, but...
They're a team now that definitely needs Kevin Durant.
Absolutely. I mean...
They're playing against, like, Portland and Houston. They're playing not tough defensive teams. Like, they're going to shred you.
Here's where we're running into trouble. The Warriors are 39-6 in the playoffs at home.
Oh, no. But I do think, like, you look at the unstoppable force they were and going through those, like, first few rounds getting to the NBA Finals, they were playing teams that just shredded. Like, they're not going to lose at home.
Yeah, but they have an 86% win percentage at home.
They do, but I just think that you've got the Raptors have calming influence of Kawhi, not panic, enjoy the moment. And you've got a team, Raptors team that believes. They can win anywhere.
Here's some stats for you, okay?
All right, let's hear them.
Who wins? This, according to the website, who wins? When the team with home court advantage loses the first game of the series, they still have close to 50-50 chance of winning the championship.
Okay.
So that's game one. They don't have if you lose game two, but basically losing home court still gives you a 50-50 shot.
Sure.
So... you know, we were talking, you know, I was talking to a couple of my buddies about, like, I thought after they won game one, we had a 50-50 shot. I'd say if we won game two, we probably are 60-40. I'm not putting us at like 80%.
No.
It's like a 60-40
shot. As much
shot.
As I'm hating on Golden State, they're ridiculously good. You know, it's just,
they are. That's what we, you know, if we play to the full of our ability, I honestly feel we have no, like, now I'm just crazy to say this for me, but especially with home court, I think we win. I just think we're a better team than they are right now.
Right now, without Durant, we are. We're
exactly.
Better.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, we just had one of those Raptors games, which is like, you might as well have had DeMar DeRozan last game, because that's why we lose, because we just aren't pure shooters and we go cold. And unfortunately, everyone cold at the same time. But again, that's when I'm just banking on them having one game like game one, where everyone gets hot, and it's got to be on the road. We've got three chances to do it.
So we got to do it.
And we
it,
can't have another. But the problem is when you lose game two, it's too early. I'd rather lose game five.
Yeah.
You know, now we have to win. Like, I think that they are going to get hotter than we are in one of those two remaining home games we have?
Like I said, I mean, my thought is I think all the games are going to be competitive. Do I think Golden State has a good chance to blow us out a game? Of course.
Who cares? Blow us out
but
one game.
I don't care. Exactly. It happens. It happens. I'm just saying that can happen, like, because they are pure shooters. We are not.
That's what I worry about, losing too early in the series, right? Because, like, are they going to get hot one more time on our home court? Yes. And we just have to pray to God that we're also hot that game, and we know what our offense is like.
Yeah.
Even some of the games we beat Philly, we weren't hot. Like, they just went on cold shooting sprees, and we were like, thank God. Like, game against... against the Bucks, that overtime game was atrocious offense.
Oh no!
Both teams went like eight minutes without scoring. They were terrible. If they had just made one bucket, we lose the basketball game. Like, we just couldn't. Neither team could score.
Can you imagine if how close we were to just being out? Like 3-0, you're not coming back. Like, that was just like, we were so close
with no Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, so
no
close.
Kyle Lowry.
I wrote us off. I thought we were done.
That was the emergence of Fred VanVleet. He didn't score well. But it was
he hit one bucket, and he got some time.
It was his confidence level. Yeah. He just transformed into a different player.
All right, so game three. Let's go. Let's dig in. Game three predictions. What we think. You know, anything we think is going to happen. Who do we think the key players are going to be? Who needs to step up? For me, I think Kyle Lowry needs a game. I think Kyle Lowry's coming. I think he's going to be an absolute bulldog going to the basket in game three, because that's what he did in Oakland in the regular season. He drove the lane like a madman. I think he's going to do it again. I think they're going to put a system in place to try and let him do that and be successful doing that. I think Kawhi's coming game four. I think Kawhi's going to have a steady game defensively here. He's going to do his normal thing. He'll probably score 25 to 30 points, but it'll be a similar 25 to 30 points as like the last game. Like, not like, you know what I mean? That's my thought. I don't know why I'm saying this. I mean, who the hell knows? But that's just a feeling I get, that it's got to be Lowry. It's got to be either Gasol or Ibaka.
Yeah,
I think you need those two. Like, out of those, you need two of those three really having a game. And then you need everyone else to hit just be their normal selves and hit a couple of shots.
It's going
to
be Lowry, because what happens?
It's all Lowry. I think game three is Lowry.
Well, listen, here's what's going to happen. And this is what scares me. And also at the same time, like, it is what it is. But Golden State's going to start going on some runs. And Lowry's the guy who's just going to pull up transition three, or he's going to toss the ball down the court like on a ridiculous pass that he probably shouldn't be making to Siakam over someone's head, or he's going to drive in the lane. The problem is, because he's the those transition threes, when he hits them, it's like the crowd, boom, goes dead silent.
Yeah.
But if you miss those,
it opens up transition. Right,
everyone
back.
Starts
it's
running
terrible.
Back at you.
Yeah.
So, but that's Lowry's game, and we're going to either live and die by it. So I'm hoping
I'd like him to be aggressive. I want him to take 15 shots.
Exactly.
Type thing. That's what I want to see from Lowry.
I want when they get on a run for him to go in and draw some fouls, and I want him to just be super aggressive and not take no for an answer, and whether it's in the lane or whether it's 3 points. Like, he was hesitant last game.
I think they will keep the zone up on defense. They won't do the janky defense, but hey, you never know. Clay's not playing, then why not?
Listen, Curry's been excellent the first couple of games, so, I mean, can he be better at home? Sure, he can be.
He can go off for 50.
But he can't go much better than Thompson was last game. Thompson was 4 of 6 from 3. He was 11 of 15 from the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he was good.
Flip it. Like, one of them, Thompson's been cold this playoff. So, yeah. I'm just, you know, we have to hope they both, because listen, they need both those guys to align. I also think
too, another thing too, is that, you know, Lowry has had the cover of Steph quite a bit. You know, at some point you look and does the conditioning come into effect for his, you know, not taking as many shots and things like that, you know, not being as aggressive driving the net, because you have to run like a madman to cover Curry. So do you kind of have a super short leash on Danny and bring in Van Vliet so that he can do a cover on Steph and then free up Lowry to be more of an? I think that's what they need to do. I'm obviously not a coach, but it just, that's what I would like. I want to see Lowry have the best chance of having a great game. So what do you do for that? That's just the way I look at it.
And we always have our two X factor. I'm pretty comfortable at this point that one of Freddie or Green in the series is going to have a good game. You know, Green was fine last game. He was 3 of
Green's
8 or
playing,
something.
Well, that's what I mean. Green's playing, and he hit, I mean, that was a huge shot he hit at the end.
I'm not worried about Green anymore. He's fine.
Well, Green always, I mean, and the one thing I'll give Danny is that at no point is he lack effort on the defensive end. He's a great defender.
No, exactly. So
he's not an atrocious liability out there if he's not.
And Powell's playoff Powell. He's going to continue to play with the same confidence. So out of those three guys, I think you're going to find one hot guy.
Maybe even bring in McCaw just to play some minutes on
Steph.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, if you need to, that's fine. Again, don't if you see if the guys if they're lagging, they need to be open about it and tell the coach, like, I need to get off the floor. Like don't be too proud here, but. Again, my point is I'm pretty comfortable now that we've got, that our rotation is going, that we've got one of three as far as Green, Van Vliet and Powell, one of those guys stepping up and scoring, right? It's been too long now in a row where we've gotten really good contribution out of those guys, where we continue to see the X factor being is what happens with Gasol and Ibaka. It just constantly, game after game for me, is always the X factor, because they're clearly, like, again, Ibaka, who's guarding Ibaka here? He's wide open all the time. And if he can't, A, if you're not aggressive in taking shots, like, what were Ibaka's numbers last game? He was...
He had a couple of heartbreaking misses.
Ibaka
inside.
Played 16 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. Again, this is not enough. You had
no,
14 shots
out,
coming from Gasol. And we're talking about our advantage being our length, and we're not beating them up underneath. Yeah. How is that possible?
Cousins
is a big guy, but he's not Embiid. He's not.
No, he's not even
Greek
close.
Freak.
He can't jump.
No,
he can
exactly.
barely dunk.
So you're telling me that we literally got in a game where our advantages and our bigs, we only had 14 shots from our bigs combined. Like that's not okay.
No, I agree. I completely agree with you.
And I don't think that's a nurse thing. I think that they had opportunities to shoot and
they didn't take it.
They weren't aggressive and the confidence wasn't there. So those guys to me are huge, huge X factors game after game, because I know what I'm getting from Leonard. I know what I'm going to get, again, from one of Powell, Van Vliet, or Danny Green.
Yep.
And I think you're right. The two X factors here are, can Kyle Lowry step up? And he had 13 points, 1 rebound and 2 assists. Not good enough, bud. Again, I'm not going to rip on you.
No.
It's just simply not good enough.
His first two, even his game one wasn't significant. Now, obviously, his hustle and everything has been the exact same. That's one consistency from Kyle Lowry. But yeah, that's why I believe in Kyle now. I believe that he's going to pull off a monster game in Oakland. Whether it's game 3 or 4, I don't know, but I think it's coming.
I agree. So I think we only need one of them. You guys can lose by 60 points in the next game.
I don't care. You got to take one of them.
So find a way to align your shooting percentages on the same night. Because I'm pretty confident, Phil, that when we look at this at the end of the next two games, here's a couple stats that are really important. We're going to have less turnovers than there, because
yes,
we just consistently do. They turn the ball over more than we do. The foul numbers are going to be similar, and we're either going to out-rebound them or it's going to be very close on the rebounding side of the ball. I'm going to say we're going to out-rebound them. So on three stats,
we got
to
shoot.
Three stats that I typically look at, which are really important, we're going to win. Now the question is, how close can we be? Like, how many field goal attempts? We had
a lot. We had more.
We had 94 field goal attempts. They had 82 field goal attempts.
No, that's
so we have 12 more opportunities than them. If that translates again into itself, again, remember, we had more free throws, but if that translates itself, like, we don't need to shoot the same percentage. We can miss some more shots than they do. We just have to hit more than we did last game.
We just have to hit more than last game, correct.
So, you know, again, I'm
all the
I'm
pieces are there.
But,
I'm confident. I think they're taking one of these two. I don't know which game it is. I do think they're going to lose game 3. And I think it's going to be I think what's going to happen, I think it's going to be
close. Let's be competitive. Even if we shoot poorly, I want to be close.
I think it's going to be close. I think the box score or the score will be misleading. I think Golden State will kind of pull away in the fourth. That's what I think is going to happen. And it's not going to be from a lack of effort from Toronto. I just think the home crowd is going to lift them for this game.
I think it's important that the Raptors keep it close from their confidence perspective. There's no moral victories for us as fans. There are moral victories from their perspective of growing their confidence. And if they come out and, again, they lose by 5 points on the road where they feel like
they missed a couple shots. Game four, they're coming hard. Yeah, they're kind of. It's important to stick with them.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose.
Listen, I think their confidence is sky high right now. I think that when they go look at tape, they feel like they were the better team in the first two games.
Well, you've also got three very smart players. Four.
Plus, they've won huge games in Philly, huge games in Milwaukee. They've got that testedness.
You've got Leonard, Green, Gasol, and Lowry, all significantly high basketball IQs. They're gonna be confident. They'll know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my prediction is we're going to lose 120 to 110. And not from a lie. I think it's just going to be a little pull away at the end. That's my thought.
I'm going 111-107 Raptors.
Okay. Let's do that. Oh, Blair.
No, I'm switching it. 113-111 Raptors.
You can't
switch. 113-111
Raptors.
Oh, score.
Raptors. Okay. Sorry, you're switching the W.
I think they're going to 111 points.
I was
going to
say, don't do that. That's like when you pick.
No, they're going 111 points. It's going to be 113-111 for the Raptors.
Ooh. Heart attack.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's going to be, from your lips to God's ears.
Let's go.
It's going to be a Kawhi Leonard free throws to win the game. They're gonna foul him at the end of the game. He's just gonna break through the defense, and they're gonna have to foul him.
Two of his and ones.
Oh, they're just disgusting,
ridiculous.
The power is just.
I've never seen anything like it. Anyways,
all right, guys, we'll talk.
That's
to you,
it.
Well, tomorrow night's the game.
Game three, and we'll have a quick.
If it's a win, we're doing one afterwards.
If we're not, it's gonna be the same thing. We're gonna be a little depressed for a day and have to regroup before we get back on. But we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. See you guys.